What's the earliest memory that you have when you think back of you and Nate Dogg? What's the earliest memory?
I mean, we've been around each other for years as kids, just around King Park and summer programs and stuff like that, in church, stuff like that. But as we got older, I'd say about 80, 88, about 88, somewhere 89, somewhere around there. That's when we really start, hanging real tough. Me, him, and Snoop. We just started going hard as 213 as a group around that time. That's when that's when we really started being a group. Other than homeboys, we just linked up.
Okay, and I saw some footage on the internet from like the early 90s before Regulate was recorded of Nate kind of freestyling to the Regulate beat.
Oh, we was in the car. Yeah, that was let me see, I'm trying to think. Wait a minute, name, I'm damn water. I'm trying to think of did we already record? I'm trying to think if we record regularly. You know what that was? That was when I put it together, actually. When I put it together, I think we was on our way to go to do a show for Endo Smoke.
Okay.
And I was letting them hear it. And, shit, that shit was dope. I mean, we was just in that motherfucker just going. And then we came back and did everything in my apartment. Probably, I think it was like either about the next day, we did Regulate. Yeah.
So did you just like write a part and then he wrote his part, or did you each write the whole song and then go and record it? How was that process?
Now we did the song right there together. I was like, okay, I started off wrong. I'll go for like, I guess I think I'll go for I think it was eight or four. I think it was eight, and then he would go. And then I would go, and then he would go. We just feed off each other, and that's how it built up to like it was, because he would feed off of what I would say, and I would feed off of what he say. So, by us doing that, it made it connect better, and here we are today with a classic. 20 years later, plus, damn near. Yeah. With a record that's still in heavy rotation, that's
so. Once the song was done, when you heard the finished song for the first time, did you realize what kind of impact it was gonna have, or was it just a great song for you?
I didn't know it was gonna blow up as big as it was, as big as it did. I was just doing music just to, let people, hear us. You know what I'm saying? Let people. Hear us, because nobody, we were just trying to come up, just trying to do our thing. So we didn't understand. We just wanted to make music, man. That's all we wanted to do. And we didn't realize how big it was, man, until, the radio. Actually, I took it to Lior and Russell and them, and then I played it for Mike Lynn and Drayton at the studio, and Mike Lynn was like, let me play this for Jimmy. So I was like, okay. So he played it for Jimmy, and Jimmy liked it, and Jimmy was like, shit, let's use this for the, Above the Rim soundtrack. So that, I was like, all right, it's all good. So I gave him the song for the soundtrack, and next thing you know, boom. The shit blew up, but I still didn't. We still wasn't tripping like damn. Until it hit the Billboard charts and it hit, everywhere all over the country was playing it. Then it was like, wow, we got something here. And,
right.
It was just a good feeling just to, know that our music was all across the country and it was playing in heavy rotation, and that meant the world to us. So. I mean, that was incredible. But as far as, you know, gold and platinum and all of that, we wasn't even on that page. We wasn't even tripping off that. We just wanted to do music. That was it.
And, you know, Nate was the kind of artist where it was kind of hard to see what he was thinking. He didn't show too many emotions. He was a very private person and kept to himself. Was that just the type of person he was, or did he do that on purpose, you know, to not be out there and not be like that?
I mean, we would talk about, like, you know, we'd talk about different things, you know, and you know, we would talk about different things, and then we'd just start doing the music, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, like with me, you know, when we in the studio, like you just asked me, when we in the studio, we talk about it, you know, and just come up with a cool concept, or, you know, he may hum something. And then he may put some words to it, and then I could feed off of him. You know what I'm saying? But he, you know, his thing, Nate really loves women. That's his thing. You know, if it was a bunch of pretty girls up in the studio, oh, it's going down. That's how we made Fancy Ways.
Right.
You know, I called Snoop, I called Nate, and I was like, shit, man, I got this song we need to do, man. This shit is dope. So I'm in the studio. You know, I had a few cats in the studio with me. We ain't had no women up in that motherfucker. Snoop came through the show. And next thing you know, boom, here come Nate. And Nate come in with about, shit, he came in that motherfucker with about 9 girls. You know, because that's how we like to work. It's the atmosphere is just, you know, because they make us feel good. It's just good to have him in the studio and just to listen and just be around. So he sat there, he sat all the way on the other side on top of the speaker, and he was looking straight across the room at this one girl. And he would look at her, and then he'd start writing. And then he'd look again, he'd start writing. And then that thing, you know, he's like, let me in the vocal booth. So we'll let his ass in the vocal booth. he got his buddy there, and start singing the hook, the Sassy Ways. You know,
okay.
That's how that record came. And then I fed off of that. And then Snoop heard, and he fed off of that. And it just came together, man.
Right. And did your relationship with Nate have ups and downs? Because, for example, on his Music and Me album, you weren't on that, so people were wondering what was going on between you and Nate around that time.
No, me and Nate ain't never had no ups and downs. Never. You know, he probably just, you know, we probably was going to get around to it and never got around to it. But we ain't never had no problems. Yeah, we ain't never had no problems like that. That's my dog. You know, anything he needed from me, he could get it.
Mm-hmm. And was it difficult to sit down and try to put everything that you were going through into one song, the song that you're about to put out next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's real difficult because there's so much stuff that I wanted to talk about, you know, but I kind of summed it up in a couple verses. You know, I summed it up in a couple verses, but you know, it's just a lot that, you know, a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about, because we had some fun times together. You know,
right.
We really had some fun times together, just doing our music and traveling and being on the road, and you know, just you know, as a group, as a crew, as homeboys, it's just fun to be with your friends and you guys are working together, just having a ball. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of fans were, throughout, you know, the last years after he had his first stroke, a lot of fans were always trying to find out what's going on, what's the current status, when are we going to, you know, get an update. And it was really hard to get, you know, concrete information of what was going on. Was that a specific request from Nate's family not to divulge any information?
No, it wasn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? He had a stroke. It's just bad having a stroke, but it,
right.
he had recovered real fast. And, I mean, he was doing good and just, you know, getting himself back together. And then, you know, this shit just happened again. It was like crazy. Like, damn.
Yeah.
He was just getting up, you know, getting up, going around and, you know, getting back up on his feet, you know.
Hasted mentioned that
the functions and stuff like that. Uh-huh.
Hasted mentioned that Nate's grandma passed away a few weeks before he passed last month. Do you think that that might have had an influence on, you know, his mental stability?
I just going through what he was going through, you know, I think that really hurt him, you know.
Yeah.
It really hurt him, and you know, I think that's kind of like, you know, broke his heart. You know what I'm saying? That's his grandmother. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And it broke his heart, you know. You know, just, you know, then he just didn't want to be in that place. You know, he didn't want to be in that place. He just was tired of it because you know, he was starting to progress a lot, too. You know, he was starting to be able to tell you yes and no and just, you know, just laugh and talk with you. We cried together. We talked. He would laugh. You know, it was real heavy. You know, I would play music for him, you know, play regulate, play out. You know, ain't no fun. And just, you know, a lot of the stuff we did. You know, he would just laugh, like, and just be so happy, you know, just to see me come in there and visit him and then, you know, help out with, you know, just wiping him off and helping him with therapy, to look at people at the place he was at and, you know, just telling them, man, we're going to get you through this, Nate. You know, we're going to get you through it, you know.
Right.
But, it's you know, that shit hurt like a motherfucker to, with him passing away. That's like crazy, you know, cause that's my brother. You know what I'm saying? You know,
man.
And it just fucked up way to, you know, I just fucked up just not having him here, cause that's my dog. It's like, well, like, what the fuck am I going to do now? I lost one of my closest homeboys, so I just felt like, fuck. I don't even want to do this shit no more. Just like, fuck it. You know, but I can't go out like that. He would want me to stay strong and ride, you know, ride for him and continue to carry his legacy on and to take care of his family and his kids. You know, and that's the thing that we doing, you know, just like with this song. You know, that's gonna be something for his mother to take care of them kids.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna carry on his legacy also. Yeah. And just, you know, I'm gonna spit about him and, you know, keep him a part of what I do still, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. As you should.
We did a lot of records together too. Like that, we had a whole album. We got a whole album that we did together. You know, that ain't nobody never heard it.
Can we expect to hear some of that music in the future?
I'm thinking about doing a Nate Dogg and Warren G EP.
Yeah.
And it'll probably, you know, I've talked to a few cats in the, out there, you know, in the industry that, you know, to get on and support. And, you know, I got some confirmations and stuff from some of the artists to rock with us on that. And, I mean, it's something, you know, just to let people hear that we still had hit records lined up ready to go. You know, it don't stop, you know. Yeah, we still got hit records. We still do this.